When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And I had no plan whatsoever when I sat down in front of the mic to do this episode. And so we'll see what happens today. Why don't I have a plan? Because I'm getting ready for SPX. I leave tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. for a 9.5 hour drive down to Bethesda, Maryland. And I'm fully whipped up into the tornado of preparations, making sure that I'm fully packed and making sure that all of the materials that I want to bring to this event are in the proper boxes. As well as I got to finish some last minute art, some of the printing that we got to do. I'm hoping we can get it done tonight. I've been playing it kind of mum what I'm printing tonight, just because if I don't pull it off, then I'm not failing on any promises. But last night I did wind up finishing the print run on 60 something new covers for Tiny Hamilton number one. This is a book that we've had in print before, but we ran out of copies. And since it has a screen printed cover with six passes on it, it's a little bit of work getting them back into print. It's, you know, having screen printed my own covers, well, Anne and I both did it. She did the first three passes. I did the last three. It's really deepened my appreciation for the boutique style mini comics, because, man, it's so much easier just to send off files to Kablam, ka-blam.com, by the way. Yeah, as if you haven't heard me say that recently. It's so much easier just to send off digital files and say, okay, give me a book and just wait. But to have a deadline fast approaching and the book doesn't happen unless you put in a good 3-4 hours of screen printing, man, oh man, next time you guys see a screen printed book at a convention, if it looks good to you, you know, you may want to think about getting it just because you should only get it if it's good. I mean, that's the number one thing. I mean, if it looks good, if it reads good, definitely. But also, just because it's the artist really poured their heart and soul into making that thing look the way it does. Anyway, my appreciation is very, very high right now for that style of comic. But yeah, so as soon as I finish recording this episode, my plan is to make a list, to write down a checklist of things. Like, you know, I think I talked about this on one of the recent Art and Story Extremes. Mission Impossible style list of things that I got to bring, because I know I'm going to forget otherwise. And one of the most unpleasant aspects of going to a con. Now, let me say this. I am not dreading this convention at all. I'm really looking forward to it. And I'll get to that in a second as to why. But the lead up to it is always dreadful because it's always such a panic. There's always a last minute thing I got to do. And then that panic leads to me forgetting something. You know, leaving something behind, getting out the door, sitting down in the driver's seat of the car and being like, oh my gosh, I forgot this. And I got to run back inside and you get back to the car again. And then you quickly tabulate through your mind all the different things that you going through your checklist of things you need to bring. That part is not pleasant, but I guess that's just like going on any kind of vacation, right? It's like whenever you leave the house for a while, you always got to, did I leave the oven on? That old joke. But social, I did an episode a while back about SPX expectations. Now, I was tired when I did that one, although I don't want to make excuses for anything that I've ever said. But I just did, didn't I? But, you know, I was feeling a little bit of a twinge of fear about the event and expectations about the event. And I've gone on record in the past to say that I do think that as independent cartoonists, well, as cartoonists in general going to conventions, we shouldn't look at it as purely a social engagement. We have a unless we have the money to do that. I mean, if you just really want to treat it as a vacation, great. But most of us in comics, those of us who are trying to make a career out of this thing, we don't have that kind of latitude because we've adjusted our lifestyles in such a way that we don't have a ton of money or time for that matter. And while we crave that social interaction with our peers, we also have a responsibility to ourselves and to our families, especially those of us who have, you know, wives and children, to make the trip pay for itself at the very least, if not more. That said, I have no expectations of making gobs and gobs of cash at this thing. I do not see it. It's a weird thing to talk about, and it's something that I'm in the process of formulating new thoughts on. And maybe this is the crux of today's Thunder Punch Daily, is this kind of crossroads I'm facing in terms of my position on conventions, because I've said in the past that I think they're a racket. And very briefly, because, you know, the conventions pay for the top flight or the most famous people to come. The most famous people who come are the draws. Therefore, everybody who comes to the convention is coming to see the big draws. The big draws make all the money because they sell more stuff and their trip's been paid for. Who's paying for their trip? That fee has been subsidized by all of the nobodies who are paying for full price for their tables. So in that sense, I think it's a racket. I don't think that conventions are evil, but I think that it's a flawed system. Okay. So there, I'm done with that piece. But and what's more is I've been, I don't want to say dismissive, but at least impatient. Let's say that, with the notion that we should just simply treat it as a vacation. The thing I said in the past was, you know, I paid $1,000 out of pocket to go to Wizard World Chicago, and I made maybe $100-$150 tops on the trip. So that doesn't really add up, especially when I can go on a vacation that I really... Oh, and what's more is I paid $1,000 to sit at this table to have people walk by and give me dirty looks and ignore me and just sit, be rooted to a table for an entire weekend and not have very much fun. Or I could go on a quote-unquote real vacation where I go up north to the Upper Peninsula, which is very beautiful, and I can go camping, or I can go up to Whitefish Point, or I can go to Marquette, which is a gorgeous town, and it costs considerably less. And I come back rested and recharged. So that's the kind of things I've been pointing to in the past. But like I said, my position is in flux right now because I'm going to this SPX, and this is one of the first times for me that I'm ever been able to go to a convention where there is going to be a fleet of people who I know personally who I'm looking forward to seeing. And also, as I've said before, our table has been paid for by generous contributions from you, Art and Storiers. So even if I went to this thing secretly hoping to get rich off of it, it would be incredibly insensitive and crude for me to complain bitterly if I don't make a lot of money, because most of my expenses have been covered by somebody else. I'm there on somebody else's dime. That alleviates a lot, and that makes me that frees me up to think about the social component. And the social component has been augmented by the fact that I know people here this time. You know, I have nothing but sympathy for the cartoonist who goes to a convention for the first time and is going blind. Blind meaning they don't know anybody there. It's like going to a high school dance or a party and you just don't know anybody. How do you engage in conversations? And, you know, we've talked on the Art and Story podcast in the past about this whole process of getting engaged and involved in a conversation by listening to what you're hearing and then offering something useful. Man, that's easy with social media, but it's so much more oppressive and frightening when you're in a real social situation. So again, I have nothing but sympathy for that. And that has been part of what's colored my experiences in the past. I've had good conversations with people. When I went to the Mid-Ohio Con, I wound up talking with Aaron Makem of the Sci-Fi Dig podcast. Wound up talking with other artists who were around me, and I had a good time to that extent, to that social component. But it still was marred by the fact that these were first-time interactions, these were first-time meetups and everything. And now, this time, I'm going, and I'm going to get to hang out with Casey Van Heist, who I've been talking on Skype with. I'm going to get to hang out with, presumably Krishna Sadasivam, if I can track him down, because he's going to be across the street from us, or down the street a ways. And those kind of interactions are going to be much more relaxed. We already have a relationship. So to that extent, the social component of the convention has been sort of reaffirmed for me. And it makes a little bit more sense to me now. And this is something I think I talked about in that SPX episode a couple episodes back, is that I think a mistake I made in past years was I was sampling the conventions. Every year I'd pick one. And I'd be like, oh, I'm just going to try this one this year, this one next year. I think one of the reasons more people have a better time at conventions than I've traditionally had is because they go to the same ones year after year after year. Now, this becomes a chicken or the egg kind of thing, doesn't it? Because if you go to multiple conventions, man, oh man, that's a huge expense out of your life and time. Time expense, right? So you have to have the convention be worthwhile to you. You have to at least make your money back in order to justify all this time off that you're taking from work and all the expenses you pay in terms of hotel and table fees and et cetera. But I guess all I'm really trying to drive at here is I'm feeling much more sanguine about this whole thing. I'm feeling very hopeful, and hopeful in the sense of having a good time. Now, again, like I was saying just a moment ago, it's kind of hard to talk about this because it's so complicated. Yeah, I want to make money at this thing, but if I don't make very much money, it's not the end of the world for me. I'm not going to feel like I got ripped off necessarily. But it's not just purely about having a good social time. I'm looking forward to both. I'm looking forward to trying out new salesmanship kind of techniques, new display techniques, and trying to reach a new audience, because at an indie comic show, it one would assume that I'd have a better chance of reaching an audience there. But it's all a mixed bag, but it's an optimistic mixed bag. I'm looking forward to it all. Unlike where when I went to conventions in the past, where I'd be filled with this kind of dread and fear and a kind of a desperate hope to make my money back. You know, I want to be able to look at my wife afterwards and say, see, it was worth it to go to this thing. And that kind of thing can make you really uptight and kind of nervous about something. And I think that might be part of what made me so, bitter, I guess. I guess I could say bitter about past experiences. Now, I'm not going to retract my statements by any means, but I do think that they were colored a little negatively, that I'm not feeling quite that level of negativity anymore. So what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say that I'm going to SPX with a hopeful expression, and I'm going to be broadcasting from the event too throughout, and I'll talk more about that in a second. But depending on how well it goes, if it goes okay, I mean, if it just goes okay, I'm not holding like a really high standard for this thing. If it just goes okay, I'm going to go back again, because I think that part of the equation is going to multiple shows or the same show multiple times. One, because the locals who come to that show will come back for you, which is something I experienced back in the 90s when I used to go to conventions a lot, when I'd go to the Motor City cons. But two, because then you also have the social component where you actually know the people who are there. So a lot of conventions have regular people, like people who say, I go to Heroes Con every year. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm curious about how this weekend's going to bring. And as soon as the panic subsides of packing and organizing, I'm looking forward to having a fun-filled weekend with a bunch of cartoonists and listeners of the show. So that said, I'm going to be doing some broadcasting from the show. At least I plan to. I'm going to do my very level best to broadcast a lot. Now, you know, we could go into another 10 minutes if we want to about whether or not I should be doing lots of broadcasting, but I've already wrestled with this one. I've already, you know, figured it out in my head what I'm going to do about this. And, you know, the checkpoint for me was the notion that, well, gee, you know, do you have to be broadcasting 24/7? No, of course I don't. Am I going to annoy people by being spammy? Maybe. But if somebody's going to feel that way about me, they shouldn't be following my Twitter feed, because most of my tweets, or a lot of my tweets, are about broadcasting stuff I'm doing. And what is Twitter but a broadcasting mechanism, right? But anyway, I'm going to be doing a lot of broadcasting. I'm going to try to. And if people don't like it, they don't have to listen. You don't have to click the link. I'm not making you. You know, I remember a while back, this is like maybe a year ago, it was shortly after we started Art and Story Extreme, and we were, you know, cranking out six shows a week for a while there, with Monday through Thursday Extreme, the Monday Art and Story Alives, and then the weekly show on Wednesdays. And I remember somebody was giving me a hard time about it, saying like, you know, geez, give me a break. Give it a rest. I can't keep up with this. Well, you don't have to. The great thing about having more content is that you can pick and choose what you want to listen to. And if something doesn't sound interesting to you, beauty, move on to the next thing. And so you don't have to wait a whole week before you get something else that's interesting. And it's not like this takes a long time for me to do. I do these Thunder Punch dailies in one take. I don't do any editing. I don't go back and fix things and change my thoughts or anything like that. So It always amuses me, and well, morally bemuses me, when somebody gets freaked out about how much stuff that we create, because we're just having a good time. And I don't understand how I'd be oppressive to anybody except that there'd be some extra tweets in their feed that day. But anyway, so Twitter list, if you go to, well, let me go to the forum real quick, because I posted in the forum a thread called Getting Together at SPX. And I'm going to that now. And I created a Twitter list, if you, for those of you who follow Twitter or use Twitter, where you can follow a bunch of people who I know, and some of them are storiers, who are going to be at SPX that weekend. And the address is twitter.com/artandstory/SPX-intervention-updates. You can just get the link right from the forum. Just go to that thread, Getting Together at SPX. But that's where we'll be posting most of the updates, but also on my personal site, jdros.com or comicsaregreat.com, whichever you prefer. I've got that site set to scrape all of my various feeds. So if you look in the sidebar, there's going to be photos updated. When I have videos to post, I'll be posting them in the main feed. And when I have any audio boos posted, not only will it go in the Twitter feed, but it will be collected on the Comics Are Great site as well. So I hope to be producing a lot of, I don't want to say reportage, but just giving the people who can't be there a sense of what the place is like and what the weekend is like. So for those of you who are interested in that kind of thing, there'll be lots of content coming up this weekend. So I guess wish me luck, or just wish me a good time. That might be nice too. Wish everybody luck. How about that? So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for your support of this project. We literally could not do this without you. If we were just yelling into the wind, our time wouldn't be compensated for, and this content would not exist, and I would be having a little less fun with my life. So thank you. You've made my life a little bit more fun to be around. Come on, that's a pretty cool thing to do. I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Probably I'll do one from the road even. So until then, remember everybody.
Today, He-Man was forced to play a dangerous game by the Game Master. The Game Master bragged a lot about winning all the time, but he became angry when he lost and said it wasn't fair. Well, playing games can be a lot of fun, but boasting when you win or getting angry when you lose spoils the fun for everyone. And pretty soon, nobody will want to play with you. So take a tip from me. Be a good winner and a good loser. You'll enjoy your games more, and so will the people who play with you. Good luck and goodbye.